everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I am so grateful to have Katie Brammel, a certified professional midwife with Gentle Landing Midwifery.
Hi.
Hi. So Katie, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll go down our questions. I'm very excited to learn about your birth center construction happening.
Me too. So I'm a certified professional midwife. I have a private practice in Vermont and New Hampshire. I've been working as a CPM since 2008. I have almost 500 babies in my hands, all out of hospital. I don't, as my licensing reflects, that is what my specialty is doing births out of hospital for low risk, healthy, pregnant people. Before I was a CPM, I was a doula before there was any such thing as a doula. I got called to my first labor support, birth in 1986, when my daughters were 3 and 4, because at the time I was the only person anybody knew in my circle of people who had ever had a baby. So anyway, I just never stopped. And it's interesting to me because in 1992, I was a holistic health practitioner in Boston, and one of my clients was laying on the table and she said, "I just went to this amazing training." And I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "It was a doula training." And I said, "What's a doula?" And she said, "It's what you do." So I went and studied with Deborah Pascali Bonaro, got certified. And by 1999, I was working in the Boston area. And by 1999, I started coming home and crying after births. And I'm not a big crier, because that was when everything started changing in the maternity, in maternity quote unquote care at the time, where the interventions swung back into higher interventions and more, you know, all of the things that we're all familiar with. And so I realized a couple of years later that I couldn't do it anymore. And so that was when I went into midwifery school.
Very exciting. Thank you so much for that background. How did you come up with the name Gentle Landing Midwifery? It's so elegant. I love it.
I didn't. So I've never named anything. I didn't name my children. I used to have goldfish. I didn't name my goldfish. Everybody else has had to come up with that. I had a very, very dear old friend who, when I was starting my doula practice, I said, "I have to come up with a name." And she actually came up with it. And what's really beautiful is that she died from breast cancer early. And so I get to carry her with me every day.
You get to tell that story. I love it. Mm-hmm. I seen on your website that Megan and yourself have some sort of sisterhood company relationship. Can you describe that a little bit more to me?
Yes. So as you reflected, we're starting a birth center in response to the closing of 10 small community hospitals in Vermont and New Hampshire since 2000. What that means is access to care is severely limited. This is not something that is unique to the Upper Valley of New Hampshire and Vermont. The Upper Valley of New Hampshire and Vermont encompasses around 50 towns and cities where small community hospitals, where people have had their babies for generations, have closed their maternity wards. When I decided to open the birth center in the fall of 2018, I just decided that I had to do something different, because the only place for people to have their babies by then was Dartmouth Hitchcock Hospital and Springfield Hospital and Gifford. Springfield has since closed their maternity ward, so there's no place but a tier one hospital to have their babies now. And that isn't an acceptable thing. And thus the heart of the community got broken. So one afternoon, I just realized that I was going to have to do something about it. And since this is all I do, I don't do anything else. I don't go on vacations. The midwifery is all I do because I love it. And I bought some chalkboard paint at the hardware store and painted two of the walls in my living room in chalkboard paint. My husband came home and he said, "Oh, what are we doing now, dear?" And so I spent the next month and a half writing the plan on my wall, and my husband and I would sit there and just sort of say, what's next and what are we missing? And then we take pictures. I take a picture of, I call it the chalkboard series of the birth center. I take a picture of it. We'd erase it all after a couple of days and just start with the next thing. Well, I was then asked to sit in on a symposium, a community symposium about access to choice of in birth in the Upper Valley. Now, I was asked to do this in 20 minutes before the start because somebody, the other CPM bailed, and I was in Lebanon at the time, and I said, sure, I'll come. And it turns out that I was the first person who had to introduce themselves. It was an amazing gathering of like pediatricians and mothers and nurse midwives and OBs and, you know, all these people. I was the first one, and I just said, my name is Katie Bramhall. I'm da 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 da, and I will be opening a birth center sometime in the next 18 months. Megan was sitting in, it was an impressive attendance. Megan was sitting in the audience and came up to me afterwards, and she said, I'm going to do this with you. And I said, yeah, that's good. Cool. Terrific. She said, no, I'm going to be doing this with you. And I said, just give me a call. And in fact, we did, and I promise I'm answering your question in 1 second.
This is a great story. I love it.
And so after about 3 weeks, we pretty much figured out that we really were going to do this together because we're an amazing team. You know, just she has what I don't and vice versa. And so, but we each had our own home birth practices. And what we figured out is that we're not going to get paid from this endeavor for a long time. So we each still have our own home birth practices. We also have our practice for the birth center. This is how we figured out how to be able to sustain ourselves until we are sustainable. Which interestingly enough, COVID has helped with that. Some of the grace of COVID, there's nothing just one way or the other. But in order for us to be able to, you know, get paid, we each have our own practice. And the big question for about, 6 months was how do we educate the community about this? Because we can't just be three separate entities. We how do we marry this all together? And so we decided, and what we came up with is Gentle Landing Midwifery and Birth Center, in where we will ultimately end up in 3 months. By the way, is the main website, but our sister companies is on the main page of gentlelanding.com. is you can click here if what you're looking for is home birth with Katie in New Hampshire and Vermont, and you can click here if you want to have Megan and her company attend your home birth in New Hampshire or Vermont. Those are two separate entities, business-wise. You know, there's no relationship to each other business-wise, but it's a way for us to be able to maintain to get paid while the birth center is being established and created and established.
How did you set up, and you can go into details as little you want or much as you want, for you and Megan, when you created the birth center, what business entity did you choose? How did you choose that partnership relationship as one, the owner, and an independent contractor? Are you equal partners? Do you mind going into that?
I don't mind at all because, you know, the bottom line is, so remember, the whole thing about the birth center creation is, so you don't start with a lease. You have to start with just like when you're building a house, you first have to excavate and then you have to lay rebar and get the concrete, you know, the concrete mix and the rebar ratio right. And then you have to pour the concrete. And so the pouring of the concrete are the most important questions because you don't want the wind to blow hard and then it's all gone. And so I'm happy for these questions because the reason why this birth center is so essential, oh my gosh, okay, here we go. So in September of 2018, The Strong Start study by the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare was released. The Strong Start study is a huge study that was undertaken with hundreds of thousands of women nationwide, which basically said, how are we going to change? How are we going to meet the need of women or of birthing people, given that nationwide, and in fact, this is worldwide, but we're just going to stay in the United States because people are staying home these days. I don't know. The Strong Start study found that the answer to the closing of all of the small hospital birthing centers is freestanding, midwife-led birth centers. And so when I bumped into that, that was when I painted my walls. I then wrote a 66-page business plan. I've never done anything like that in my life, but you know, if you can't help but do what you're doing, you might as well make sure the ratio of rebar to cement is right. Now, I was in Haiti after the earthquake and started a birth center down in Jacmel. And one of the guys that came up to me right before we were about to fly in from the DR into Haiti. Am I talking too much?
You're perfect. I love it. I'm just listening. Please.
I was trying so hard to figure out how to get us from DR to Haiti because my whole team was on site, but the way we were going to be going in was shut down the day before. So we didn't have any way to get across the border. So I was sitting at this cafe and this man walked up to me and he said, "Hey, sister." And I looked at him and I said, "Hi, what do you want?" And he said, "Can I want to have lunch with me?" And I said, "Let's make something very, very clear." I said, "I'm not going to go to bed with you. If you're curious about what it is that I'm doing, have a seat." And he said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm in concrete." And I looked at him and I said, "So I just want you to know that the reason why the earthquake was so devastating in Haiti isn't because the earthquake was devastating in Haiti. It's a man-made disaster, not a natural disaster. And it had everything to do with the ratio of rebar to concrete." I said, "I'm really hoping you have unbelievable integrity around this as you go forward and try and make a lot of money in Haiti." So the idea is that what is the bottom line of what is going to keep a project solid? So anything can come across it, even COVID, and still keep it solid.
And that's why I created Midwifery Business Consultation 2 years ago, because I had my own private home birth center practice for 4 years. And there was so much I learned hard knocks. I didn't have business courses. I didn't have financial courses. So the last 2 years, I have devoted so many hours to learning and helping other midwives, because it's not what we go to school for 100%. And that's people right. Do not realize. They're like, "Well, I'm just going to jump in and learn as I go." And I said, that's how you burn out. You make the mistakes. You spend unnecessary time, precious time doing things. So I 100% agree with you. And that's why I've created this series and I've created my resources. I am 100% on board with you, because that good foundation of planning and prepping and thinking about those exit strategies and those what if situations are going to make a long-term sustainable birth center. I want to help all these amazing birth centers get going all over the country, because
you
I see it too.
Blessed.
I see it too. 100%.
Yeah. And so it starts with a really solid business plan. I spent 40 days writing and rewriting and revising this business plan with a 5-year budget, which I have rewritten this. So just because you write a business plan doesn't mean your business plan is done. I have rewritten this business plan 11 times to keep, because the beauty of a business plan is that it checks your head and your own thinking, as well as keeps it current, keeps you current with what's happening now. Not because hope isn't a plan, you know, it's a cliche thing, but when you're investing. So I originally got into this and I thought, all right, this is like going to be a $250,000 endeavor, which is a pretty, like, you know, it's not $90,000. It was, you know, we're now up at $450,000. And we're okay.
Yeah, it's having those cushions and having a contingency, knowing your break-even point, knowing, a business plan is just not for the beginning to get your funding and to start out. It's a reference plan. It's keeping your core and mission. When you're in those hard times, you're remembering why you created this and, oh yeah, we had an exit plan for this situation. I don't remember writing page 50 out of 66, but we had planned for this. Okay.
And why are we even doing this? So in my business plan, I put the executive summary of the Strong Start study in there. It's just like, right, that's why we're doing this. This is the core mission, the guts of like what drew me into chalkboard paint. I never knew it was a thing.
And I love it because that's an amazing way for midwives are so visual and hands-on to have a wall that's your vision board in your living room. You have an amazing husband.
We had so much fun.
Oh, and I think that's another topic for another day, but how many women have to have that good supportive team to make this successful and to be passionate and also have, because some people don't have it, but I think, yeah, you and I are very blessed that we have those amazing support teams.
It's true. He gets up in the middle of the night and packs my car for me after all these years.
He's amazing. I feel like we should... Yeah, I was going to say, we need a day for midwife's partners, like an international midwifery partner day.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
So side talk, we'll have that as our next like talk and our dreams. So the other questions I had, you've answered quite a bit of them. You decided why to start it. What services do you do much for GYN services? Is it mostly OB, pregnancy, prenatal?
No. So I feel so, I didn't finish answering your business plan question.
You did a good chunk of it. You talked about the business model, but yeah, apart with Megan, you could talk about that part. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's tricky. So here's the deal. Who you get into care with, or who you get into business with should be somebody that you would choose to move into your house. And I have a very harmonious house, and I recommend that. The spiritual definition of love, according to the Taoists, is that it's instantaneous. And when you look at the other person, it makes you love yourself more, period. And that should be who your business partner is.
Somebody that has the same drive and values
that's not what I said. In my experience, since I'm the person answering this question, you should fall in love with each other. And if you don't have, because the rest of it is just details. If there's love, and I'm not talking about what everybody thinks love is an energy. It's instantaneous. And when you look at the other person, you just feel like $1 million about yourself. And if that's present, you can work anything out. And that's what we've discovered because it's not easy being in a business partnership. We are equal partners. And one of the things that both of us kept hearing, so, you know, it was a new relationship, you know, and we were trying and we, people kept saying to us and people said to me, this is your birth center. Don't go 50-50. You're going to put yourself at risk. And people were saying to Meg, don't go 50-50. You're going to, and so all these voices, you know, there's this amazing Mary Oliver poem that basically says, regardless of all the voices that are trying to pull you back, you know, we just would call each other up and just say, you know, my friends are saying that we're good, right? Because we had that initial thing, we looked at each other and liked ourselves more. And that was the foundation. And so what we chose to do, despite all of the good advice, was to go 50-50. Because it's a birth center, and as we all know, as home birth midwives, you can only 59400, there's no facility fee. And so how do you make, it's not sustainable. With a birth center, what we did was we created our midwifery practice, our professional practice, as an S corp. Hang with this for a second, because everybody was just like, go nonprofit, go nonprofit, go nonprofit, please don't. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. And then the birth center is an LLC. So we created two companies, as an S corp for the business, and the LLC as the facility. People were saying, "Oh, start a nonprofit." Not, please don't, because here's the deal: with a nonprofit, you have a board of directors, so it's not yours. With a board of directors, if you have an outcome that scares some random board member or not, you can get kicked out. It's not your business. They set what you get paid. They can set your policies and procedures. They can set based on whatever experience and history they have, and or fear that they have, or something could have happened to their cousin's baby at a home birth, and they could get scared and just go, "No, we've got to redo this policy and procedure." They can set all sorts of things. And in fact, if what you have is an open communication pathway built in from the beginning, going to go back to the spiritual definition of love, is that it's instantaneous and it makes you love yourself more when you look at the other person. If that's mutual, you can talk about anything, no matter how scary it can get. And it does get scary, but it's no different than any long-term relationship that you're in.
I was just say, on your business plan, what do you have written? If there is something, a decision comes up and you're 50-50, what is your plan to tip the voting? Who is that person?
We hire a mediator.
Perfect.
Okay. And it's in our, it's not just in the business plan. It's actually in our drawn up legal document for the S corp, because we got a lawyer who basically said, "What if?" And we're just like, "Let's solve this problem." And he said, "Please solve this problem now, because I don't want to see you in court."
It's planning ahead. Like, you don't want to think about, "Oh my gosh, something will happen to you and you get in a car accident." But if it happens, who's going to take over your decision making? How is that process?
Megan is amazing. You know what she said? What we did, one of the first things we did, we bought life insurance on each other.
Excellent.
You guys are
amazing. You're already 20 steps ahead of the curve of a typical, because it's just a learning curve. And if you don't have the drive to want to be proactive versus, I think we look so much at birth as it's a normal process. It's just, it's going to happen. And I think we prepare for the emergencies for birth. Why don't we prepare for the emergencies on our business side? So trying to relate to midwives, like, it's so important. So I'm glad you're going into details.
Yeah, we have life insurance on each other. That will fully cover the cost. Like, if I dropped dead tomorrow, since we're 50-50, my family has invested all of our money, because we're old and we can, but we don't have a ton of money, but everything that we have, I've cashed in my children's life insurance equity we have a full mortgage on our house, and we have proposed inheritances inheritance. Mm-hmm. That my family has put in, plus we have a $200,000 note from the bank. Mm-hmm. But what we have is an agreement that, regardless of anything, we are each 50-50 responsible for this. And so we each have full coverage for the other person's 50%.
Excellent.
And we also have it built into our budget. We had this meeting in March. We spent the weekend together at the office and just camped out and ate takeout and, you know, just worked ridiculous amounts of hours. Redid the 5-year financial plan and figured out that the way we figured this out, we will be fully paid off in 3 years.
Amazing. That is so amazing. Are you guys going to do insurance processing or cash? What are the regulations? Yep.
So the very first thing I did after I made the decision to start the birth center, before Megan was even part of it, is I hired a consultant who helps with birth centers all over the world, paid her my very first huge amount of money. And one of the things she said is, the very first thing you do is start credentialing now. So we are each individually credentialed with 8 billion. This is the part I don't understand. This is the part where Megan rocks it out. Like, she does the money, she does the bookkeeping, she does the insurances.
Each one of you has your strengths to bring to the table.
I'm unbelievable at HR and organization, and at personal, like, how do you say, relational stuff. I'm really good at that. Anyway, so the very first thing we did was Marnie Cabezas out of Innovation Billing, that's her billing service thing. We don't use her billing service, but we use her as a consultant for opening a birth center. It was the best $10,000 I spent, because what we got was, as we were starting the process, she said, you have got to start getting credentialed now, each individually in every single insurance that is available in both states. Then we have, once that happens, we have to credential the midwifery practice in New Hampshire, so that once the facility is open and licensed, it's still going to take 3 to 4 months for the facility to get credentialed. But, and so people who are going to have birth center births right after the opening are still going to have to pay for the facility fees out of pocket. But if all of that credentialing is done from the minute this decision was made, then we just have to add the facility to the credentialing. And so it won't take that long. It won't be like, because it's taken 18 months to finish. We're just about finished with all the credentialing now after 18 months.
It's quite a process. I've talked to midwives all over the country that they've been going for years and established, but they're still doing, like, they're doing things the opposite direction. The stuff that would have been on your business plan and prepping to get going, they're doing as they're working hard, taking care of all these people and not getting really paid. So it's like, it's interesting how there's so many different models of implementation out there, but I do advise the planning, the prepping, that credentialing ahead of time.
So it's, what we really did was we invested in somebody credentialing for us, because, because there's just so much that you can miss, and you miss one thing with the credentialing and it'll take you all the way back to the beginning. Exactly. And that impacts families' ability to actually be able to get the care that they need and want and hope for.
Yep, it kind of violates your core mission of why you started the birth center. So, so one last question on the list, and then I'd love to tour the birth center. How do you keep, you mentioned you live and breathe midwifery, but how do you take care of yourself? How do you do self-care? How do you make boundaries? Like, how do you keep yourself rejuvenated? Because I know the average life of a midwife is about 7 years right now, and that's huge and passionate to me, is to prevent burnout.
Yeah. So I might get in trouble for this. You ready?
Okay.
There's a whole lot on the internet now and in midwifery schools about that can get older midwives in trouble. So let's see. First of all, I have a personal trainer. I'm in my training clothes right now. I do remote training with my personal trainer every single morning. I do weightlift. It's 20 minutes. It keeps my body awake when I can. There are times I can't do that, but it's always something that is simple. It's available. I don't have to go anywhere. And it's somebody who has committed to understanding that I'm a midwife and I'm not always going to. And I'm not going for the Olympics.
Right.
I'm way past the 7 year mark. Mm-hmm. And here's the part that's going to get me in trouble. Okay. When I first got into birth work, my children were 4 and 5 years old. And that was when I was called to my first labor by this friend of a friend. And over the course of the next 11 years, I would occasionally get called to a birth. It wasn't a thing back then. And what I realized is that it was compromising my children. And very early on, I realized that this was going to have to be how I was going to spend my life. But if I chose too early, I would always have to choose a client over my children. And I had one shot of doing motherhood well. None of us are going to do it right, ever. We are going to make ridiculous numbers of mistakes under the best of circumstances. It's what teaches our children compassion and forgiveness and humanness so that they don't have to be perfect. But it takes an enormous amount of attention that As a mother, I'll just keep it singular. As a mother, I really wanted a good shot at that one shot I had.
I honestly agree with you 100%.
What I see, and I'm going to get slaughtered on the internet saying this out loud. I am not trying to take choice away from young midwifery students and young midwives, but I'm just going to tell you from my own experiences that you will always have to choose your clients over your children, and there is backlash. I know that because as my children, I was under the impression that with my children being teenagers, they didn't need me so much, and so I dove into doula work when they were 15 to 19 years old, and they would say to me, thanks a lot for choosing somebody else's family over me, Mom. And I'm just telling you my story. And so I waited until my children threw me out into the world. So I listened to them. My job as a mother is to listen to my children because and I wasn't the best mom. Don't get me wrong. I backed off to doing maybe 3 births a year as a doula. And at 19, my children finally said, Mama, are you going to stop making us lunch and, you know, just go do your life? And that was the signal I was looking for to then apply to midwifery school. And I will tell you that I don't need to do anything differently. And I don't need to do a lot of other things because this, for me, this is what I do. This is what I've waited my whole life to do. But the big thing is that I waited to do it until there's nothing left to do. I garden, I train as many times as I can say yes to my trainer. And I do this, and I walk around my property with my husband. That's what I do. And it's just me. But my biggest message is that who are you devoted to, and who are you going to give your heart to as a midwife? Because one of the things that's hardest in midwifery, and I see it with students who start with me and they're just like, no, this is what I want. I had this student last year who's just like, we had this 9-month-old who was still nursing. And I said, what are you doing? You're amazing. I want you. But get real with your husband, because husbands love to hate midwives. You know, midwifery students' husbands love to hate midwives. And because, you know, they're the ones actually being the truth tellers. It's just didn't we have an agreement to have a family? It's not that simple. Don't worry. Don't get me in trouble.
I think it's good to get a perspective. 9 months, yeah.
So she came for 4 weeks. And she called after 4 weeks, and I just kept saying to her, check yourself. How's this really? And she was pumping in the hall. It was just like, cool, that's fine. How's this really working? And after 4 weeks, after she was just like, no, I'm all in, she called me crying on the way home, and she was just like, I'm out. I can't do this. And I was just like, I know.
But I think it's important for everybody to find their life's purpose, prioritize things. Sometimes going back to the basics, I mean, we talked about COVID a little bit, but having people just think about what's most important. I had to step back from private practice for a little while because I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 1-year-old for a reason. I couldn't be a mom and a midwife. And my son, my 8-year-old, gave me an amazing reality check telling me one night, I want a new mom. Oh my gosh, it was terrible. It was just heart-wrenching.
It was beautiful. It was perfect.
And I think this is the tough stuff that midwives sometimes don't want to talk about. We don't want to talk. There's this culture of everything's perfect and you just work hard and this is what you do. But I think having tips and suggestions and being okay, you're still an amazing midwife just because you're not being at the birth. You're supporting women. You're doing a different direction. I think it's okay to tell midwives you can be in different aspects of your midwifery career during different stages of your life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there was one leftover question I didn't answer. You said, what do we offer? Because of this partnership, I was able to have 2 things I want to say about that. One is, yes, we do out of hospital births. But because Megan is a nurse midwife, I no longer have to go anywhere else for a lot of the standard consults that I need to have according to my rules and regulations. And we get to offer, she can do you know, just so many of the things I used to have to refer out for. And we do gyn care, which is really good for our financial plan. But
yes, it is. That's a whole other discussion. But yes, yeah. GYN services are really important.
Yeah. And having this model of care, we have three midwives in our practice. We just hired one, this amazing woman, Juliana Taylor, up in Burlington to join my private practice and the birth center practice. But it meant that when my mother called recently and saying, I'm sick, I need some help, I could get in the car in 23 minutes and not worry about our clients.
Nice to have that collaboration and backup plans and know you're not the only one in the area and you can't have anything happen to you in life. Like, it's nice to have that's part of that burnout. I mean, there's some midwives out in the country that just don't have options or they don't have the collaborations, and it's so important to get them.
Mm-hmm. And until this, I didn't. Yeah. Until 19 months ago, I didn't have anything solid and I was really struggling.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I've got about 7 more minutes. I would love to tour your birth center. I would love to see your space and give us suggestions of like why you did something a certain way, or as you're touring, give your perspective.
Can you please tell me? So this is my private office.
I'm sorry. Okay, we can add it as to the separate part to the video. It's not a big deal. So
yeah, so if you go on to gentlelanding.com, there's a sort of tour. It doesn't really look like this anymore, but what I can tell you, I can just give you a couple of things about it. One of the things that I decided to do is not buy a house, because in the Upper Valley of Vermont and New Hampshire, yes, owning a house would have been fiscally excellent to have a birth center, but a couple of things came to mind. One is the Upper Valley of New Hampshire and Vermont has a demographic, you know, Dartmouth is there, Dartmouth the college, Dartmouth the hospital, you know, so it's a whole different, along with the more rural parts of the Upper Valley up in New Hampshire and Vermont. The question that we were trying to answer is, where are we going to go that's going to keep the community comfortable? Because just because we think this is a great idea doesn't mean that it's going to, there's some education that has to go on, and different kinds of education. You know, best is not always the best. And then the rural people still have to make the drive, but what's going to keep them comfortable? So what we decided to do is be 5 minutes from Dartmouth, which is going to keep, which keeps Dartmouth comfortable. That even though studies show that anything within 15 minutes of a hospital, it doesn't change, the outcomes are the same. There's the perception for both the community of what is really safe for my wife and for me and my baby and all the things, as well as what's going to keep Dartmouth really, really comfortable in collaboration with us. We are freestanding and unassociated, but we are in discussions with what's the transport plan and all of that. So we've decided to take out a pretty terrific lease at this place that's 5 minutes door to door. It's 3,100 square feet. But what is going to keep us different from Dartmouth? And the thing that's going to keep us, I just keep saying to people, yes, there's all the clinical stuff, but what makes us not Dartmouth? I don't want to be not Dartmouth. I want to be something different. And so what I, with Marnie Cabezas, what we came up with is a combination of spa and birth center and whole care. And my whole philosophy of care is two things. One is that people have a true choice in care that continues to be clinically accurate and safe and individualized, but true choice in putting the care back in healthcare. And this has nothing to do with what doctors and nurses and midwives offer in hospital. They're not allowed to do anything but what they do, but we are. And so we offer, and the mission state. So when you walk into the birth center, what I just kept saying to people is, when you walk in, I want your whole body for well woman care, for, you know, whatever. We have a thermography person who's going to be joining our, not joining our practice, but renting one of our rooms, our LLC, our IBCLC people, you know, whoever is going to be our adjunctive people in there. We want people to walk in and go, oh, like they're walking into a spa. So our reception area is just, it's got this granite slab with gold lettering and this huge, we have a beverage station in this whole education space, and it's with a chandelier and just this whole essence of, we're going to put a speculum in you. And we're getting these state-of-the-art speculums that are not metal. What we're trying to do is, and we've gotten a LifeStart trolley, which is the bedside resuscitation trolley where you can keep the cord. And so what we're hoping is that with all of these things, we are an alternative, but we can also get the med students down from Dartmouth to show them that in fact, safe care and alternative care really can look like. And so we're going to have nitrous available because Megan can do nitrous. And so we walk in and there's this reception area that's just very spa-like. And then Meg and I have one shared office there. Our administrative offices are in a different location where we can just go and get work done. We have a dirty supply room that's very comprehensive. We have a sterile supply room, a very expansive gyne office with a space to sit and a place, you know, on all the things. A beautiful staff kitchen and my triage and OB, prenatal room. Then you go walk into the birth center, which is like you open a door to a different place, and we have two birth rooms and two birth bathrooms, and they're state of the art. You can go on the website, you'll see pretty accurate mock-ups of them. And you know, if you're in a few months, because construction will be finished in 7 weeks, there'll be more pictures then. And so
it's making me so excited to hear the community center you're creating, the spa. You're going to create the next generation of what birth centers are going to look like in the United States. So I'm so excited.
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity, Leslie.
Yeah. I would love to follow up with you in 3 to 6 months to see now your doors are open and anything you've learned from and all that. I want to celebrate with you guys.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So yes, Katie, is there anything you want to end with? Any little advice just to give midwives out there when they're thinking about becoming a midwife or they're considering starting a birth center? Any simple advice you have for them?
Follow your heart. If you're doing it from your head, you're starting from the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Once you figured out what your heart is saying, it whispers. So listen closely. Don't forget to add your head to it. And then don't be afraid to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And never give up hope. Because if your heart is really the thing that's telling you to do something, the answer is there. But you got to bring your head along and you have to bring your hope along, because those are all of the things that as midwives, our families want us to bring to them as they have their doubts about life. And whatever it is that you learn from that process, you will by all means have to offer to your families from a deeper place.
I love it. We will end it there. So thank you so much, Katie, for your time, and you have a great day.